Not too long ago, I received a sort of an article in my Facebook feed that talked about the kind of religious questions that people were asking. And there is a good tool that is available today to sort of gauge what kind of questions people are asking about religion. And that tool is Google. Google fields all kinds of questions and redirects those questions to various different websites. And one organization decided to find out what were the top religious questions that people were asking. This is the number two question for 2019. What is the Bible? Well, I thought this year that we would look at some of these questions that people are asking and that Google is reporting are the top religious type questions. And so this morning we will look at this topic. What is the Bible? We'd like for us to start with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, which says, "And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I know of no other verse in the Bible that tells us the purpose of the Bible than this verse. Notice, the Holy Scriptures. That is, of course, what we have within our hands today that we know as the Bible. And what are they then able to do? To make us wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's the purpose of the Bible. Some have said it like this. The Bible's purpose is the salvation of man and the glorification of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. When we think about the purpose of the Bible, many might say then, what is the Bible? And the Bible is certainly a large volume. It is not something that one can ingest in mere moments. It's not a nursery school book. Neither is it a college textbook. Although many have made college courses reflecting the contents of the Bible. But when we think about the Bible, I would like for us to think about four things. First of all, what does the word Bible mean? Secondly, we'll notice that the Bible is a book of books. Third, we'll see that it is the Word of God. And finally, it is the story of God's work to save man through His Son, Jesus the Christ. What does the word Bible mean to begin with? Well, the word Bible comes from the Greek word biblos, which simply means book. And that word, biblos, is used in the Greek New Testament several times. The first time we encounter it is in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The book. Now, we tend to think about the word book in a very specific way today as about a volume with a cover and with numerous pages within it that is bound, on which pages we have printing. I would say that most people think about the word book in such a way. That is not the thought behind the word biblos. In fact, if you were to show this particular volume to a person of the Old Testament or the New Testament, they would look at it and say, "What is that?" They were not used to dealing with things like this. Most of the time, they may have had a piece of paper, a papyrus, or they may have had a scroll of sorts. And those were very common as well. And so they could have thought of a book in a number of different ways, but specifically, they would have seen it as maybe as a scroll. When we think about the book of Moses, Mark chapter 12 and verse 26, The Bible refers to a particular section of the Old Testament that we know as the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, I got to get that in the right order. That's a section of the book that we call the Bible. But the Bible calls it the book of Moses. There is the book of Isaiah, referring specifically to a section of writings by Isaiah the prophet. There is the book of Psalms. Luke chapter 20 and verse 42 refers to that. It may have referred to what we know as the book of Psalms, which is a book of many different works, each one being a psalm, or maybe to more of the wisdom literature. And then the book of the prophets, another section of the Old Testament. The Hebrew word for book is the word sefer. And a lot of times that just is translated or means scroll. And when you look at the Hebrew Old Testament, by the Hebrews, it is divided into three sections. The law, the prophets, and the writings. The law being the first five books of what we know as the Old Testament. The prophets being both the major prophets and the minor prophets that we understand. And the writings being everything else. When we think about the word for book or for the Bible, when we think about a scroll and these things, we think about the Bible then being a book of books. It has a total of 66 books, and it's divided into two parts that we know as the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, and there are 27 books in the New Testament as we have it in our English version today. Now, the English version is divided based upon how the Latin Bible was divided. But the Hebrew Bible is not as divided as the English Bible is divided. Some of the Old Testament books are together, such as 1 and 2 Kings. It's just Kings in the Hebrew Bible. And so there may be some differences depending upon the time and the language. But nevertheless, as we have the Bible before us today, it has a total of 66 books. The nomenclature of Old Testament and New Testament comes from the Bible itself. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 31, we read, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." The King James Version translates the word covenant there, testament. And thus we get New Testament, Old Testament, a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Hebrews 8 and verse 13 talks about, in that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The old covenant then and the new covenant, or the Old Testament and the New Testament, is how we then look at the two parts of the Bible. The Old Testament has five main sections. There are the books of the law, of which there are five: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There are the books of history: Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. There are the books of wisdom. There are five of those: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And there are then the major prophets: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, which was written by Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And then you have the minor prophets: Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And there are 12 of those. And as we think about the Old Testament, we think about these various different sections: law, history, wisdom literature, and prophecy. The New Testament is also divided into five parts. There are the accounts of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There is the book of history. The book of Acts tells us the history of the church. There are the epistles of Paul, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, or Galatians. Yeah, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And then there are the general epistles written by various other authors. Hebrews, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 and 3 John, Jude, and Revelation, and the book of James as well. And then there is one book of prophecy, and that is the book of Revelation. It's a little bit more difficult to speak those words than it is to sing them, because I'm used to singing the song of the Old Testament books and the New Testament books. Anyway, forgive me for getting things out of order. Well, we've looked at sort of the organization of the Bible, but now let's look at the content of the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It claims to speak for God. It does speak for God. 815 times in the Bible, we have the expression, says the Lord. Sometimes it's preceded by thus. Thus says the Lord. 234 times it says, the Lord said. 44 times it says, God said. And there are numerous other different things that we could say about how many times the Bible declares that God is speaking. So at least over 1,000 times, probably much more than that. And the sort of consensus of all this, or the concatenation of all this, is that the Bible is the Word of God. Every page is God's Word. Every book, every letter, every chapter, every verse, every section, it is all the Word of God. When we think about what the Word of God says about the Word of God, we find passages such as 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His Word was on my tongue. That is, what is being claimed by those who are writing the Bible and speaking in the Bible is that God is speaking through them. God's Spirit is inspiring them then to say the things that they said or to write the things that they wrote. 2 Peter 1 verses 20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, we have a very familiar verse to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so the Bible is inspired of God, and thus it is the Word of God. Being the very Word of God, then, the Bible is the truth, for God cannot tell a lie. God does not deal in falsehoods, nor does He speak to us in such a way so that we would not know that it is His Word. He has declared very clearly that He is speaking in this book. When we read in the Bible, we see things such as Psalm 33 and verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. Psalm 119 and verse 142, God's law is truth. Psalm 119 and verse 151, God's commandments are truth. Psalm 119 and verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Psalm 146 and verse 6, God keeps truth forever. In John 17 and verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. And so the inspired word of God is then nothing less than God's truth for mankind. And it is what we need in order to live for Him. When we think about what the Bible has to say about any particular topic, then, when the Bible speaks, it is telling us the truth about that topic, the way things really are. If the Bible comments upon a person and the activities that he does or is involved in, the Bible is speaking the truth about those activities. If the Bible labels something as a sin, then we can know that what the Bible has said is a sin is offensive to God. If the Bible talks about an activity being good and right and holy, then we can know that such an activity is pleasing to God. The Bible gives us instruction regarding worship, so that if we do the things that the Bible says to do, the Bible says that such worship is right and good and holy, and we do those things, it is right and good and holy. If the Bible speaks about our organization as a church, then we can know that if we do what the Bible says, and it's telling us the truth about the organization of the church, then we are following the truth about the organization of the church. If we diverge from what the Bible says and do something that we desire or what we want, there is no way for us to know whether or not that is right and good and holy. And it may very well be that it is not, because it is from man and not from God. And so as we think about what the Bible says, it says those things for our benefit, so that we can live for God, so that we can be His people, so that we can do things in the ways that He desires us to do those things. And when it comes to salvation, we understand that the Bible is the story of God's work to save man through Jesus Christ, His Son. The Bible begins with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. So it is God's story. It begins with God and it ends with God. The Bible tells, however, of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, that Satan tempted Eve in the garden to eat of the fruit that God forbade Adam and Eve to eat. And she took of that fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate as well. And thus, man sinned and fell from God's graces. But the Bible tells us that that is not the end of the story, but that God desires to save man from his sins. And Isaiah 45 and verse 22, God says, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other." In other words, if we desire to be saved from our sins, we must turn to the one and only God of the Bible. The Bible tells us who that God is. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, we read, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And Jesus then is the Son of God, God in the flesh, who came to this earth and took on the form of a servant, gave His life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might then have the hope of eternal life. The story of the Bible is the story of God's work of salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son. The Bible tells us then how God saves man through Jesus. We see that it is Jesus to whom we must go if we desire salvation. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9 says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." And the verse that we started our lesson with this morning, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And so the Bible is the story of God's work to save man through Jesus, His Son. What is the Bible? The word Bible means book. But it is not just a book. It is a book of books. 66 total. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, the two parts into which the Bible is divided. The Bible is the Word of God. It tells us the truth and thus reveals God's will to us. And the Bible is the story of God's work to save man through His Son, Jesus the Christ. Now there's the answer to the number two religious question that people are asking today. What is the Bible? In brief then, as we see, the purpose of the Bible is this: the salvation of man and the glorification of God through His Son, Jesus the Christ. You would expect that if the Bible offers salvation, that it would then tell us what to do to be saved. And in fact, it does tell us exactly that. Jesus, in fact, laid out this plan for us before He ascended back into heaven. He told the apostles that He wanted them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, implying that they were to speak and others were to hear the message. We must hear the message of the gospel. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. We then must believe or have faith in the message of the gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the Bible. We must hear the Bible and we must have faith in it. That is, believe it. We must then repent of our sins. The times of ignorance God once winked at, but now He commands that all men everywhere repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. We must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we must be baptized for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The Bible tells us what we need to do to be saved. Would we then fulfill the purpose of this very book that we all hold so dear within our lives? If we would, let us then respond to the message of the Bible, to hear God and to believe Him, to repent of our sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. That is how God saves us today. And if one would want to know what the Bible is and what the purpose of the Bible is, then I would hope that one would then want to follow the message that the Bible has to say, since it is the very Word of God itself. And in doing what the Bible says to do, you can know that you are doing what is right and good and holy. If you do not do what the Bible says, then we have no way of knowing whether or not we are following the will of God. We may, in fact, simply be following the will of man, in which case there is no salvation. And why is that? Because there's no salvation in any other name than Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And so this morning, maybe you need to take advantage of the purpose of the Bible by following its plan of salvation and becoming a Christian. And if you need to do that this morning, we're ready to help you. Or maybe you need prayer today and you would like to ask for prayer. The Bible teaches us about prayer. It teaches us to remain faithful to the Lord so that we can ultimately be saved. And part of that God's plan for remaining faithful is prayer. And so this morning, if you need the prayers of the church, many use this time to ask for such things. And that is available to you as well. Whatever your need may be today, we're going to, in just a moment, stand and sing this song of invitation. I'm going to go ahead and get it up here, so we'll be ready to sing it. And it looks like the lesson was pasted in twice. Oh, there it is. And here we go. We're going to sing the song of invitation. And so, this morning, if you would like to respond to the invitation to become a Christian, or to ask for prayer, you can come forward and sit on one of these front pews and make your request known right now while we stand and while we sing.